take up the authorized version of Holy Scriptures you'll find in front of you in the pew. And turn with me to the 20th chapter of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. If you want to know why we only use the authorized version of Holy Scriptures, there's a little booklet that's quite free. You'll find it on the tables in the doorways of the church. Get a copy of it. Why we hold to the authorized King James Bible and reject modern perversions of Scripture. Take copies for your friends. 20th chapter of Genesis. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if I restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother." And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servants and women servants, gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee." And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproof. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant. And they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing. He will stamp his precious word with that blessing tonight. We have been looking the last Sunday nights at great men of God and how they fell into sin and how they were caught on by God in various examples of terrible sin. We have looked at the greatest saint that ever was in the world, a man called Noah, chosen out of all the millions in the earth as a just man, as a good man, as a man of grace, and yet we found him fallen in the tent of Sodom. And God caught him on in the Sodomite tent. Then we have turned and we are coming to the greatest servant of the Lord in the Bible. His name is Abraham. And he was caught on in a vile campaign of deceit in order to protect his own skin. We turn to Genesis chapter 20. And in this chapter, we have another page in the dark shame that entered into the life of Abraham, who was known as a friend of God. Page one of shame in Abraham's life is recorded in chapter 12 of Genesis, when he sojourned in Egypt, and the very same sin that he was guilty of in chapter 20 first commenced in chapter 12 of Genesis. The second page recording the shame of Abraham was, of course, in Genesis 16, when unwilling to wait for the child of promise, he was cajoled by his wife Sarah to take to him her slave girl Hagar, and so by Hagar have a man child. This was another page of shame in the life of Abraham. But now we come to chapter 20. And here in chapter 20, we have the record of an event which could have prevented the holy seed of Abraham ever to have been begotten. There are some stern and startling lessons for us all to learn from this portion of the Word of God. I want to make 4 points tonight in this message. Point number one, the repetition of temptation. Point number two, the reason for this tragedy.
Point number three, the results of this treachery. And point number four, the rulership of final triumph. Number one, the repetition of temptation. It was the eccentric London preacher of the Victoria era, Dr. Joseph Parker, who said one could hardly have blamed God if he had contracted Abraham's name back to Abram and sent him packing back to Ur of the Chaldees from whence he came after he had committed this sin of shame. But the stories of the grace of God do not end in that fashion. For there is one thing which is amazing, and it is this, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And when God blesses, he blesses, there may come chastisement, but punishment for sin has already been made at the cross of Calvary. And so, whom God blesses, he never finally curses. Nevertheless, such a tragic event in the life of Abraham cannot give any excuse for him sinning in the vile manner which he did. Note carefully the setting of this shameful episode in the repetition of temptation. Where is this city Gerar? If you study the book of Genesis and look especially at chapter 10, verse 19, and chapter 12, verse 9, you will notice, first of all, that Gerar was on the road to Sodom. It was the very road that Lot took, the road to Sodom. Gerar was also the road to Egypt. It was the very road that Abraham had traversed before, when he went down to sojourn in Egypt. Temptations will come to all children of God, but the children of God ought not to put themselves in the way of temptation. Lead me not into temptation is daily prayer we ought to pray. What does that mean? Lead me not into the way where I will be tempted. Abraham had gone down this path before. He passed the ruins of Sodom. And surely he thought about the backsliding of his nephew Lot. And then he knew that he was on the road to Egypt. And surely he must have thought of the awful happening that took place in Egypt, and his wife's purity was almost destroyed in the harem of the Egyptian king. Nevertheless, with all those warning signals, the red warnings, a warning to Abraham, he persisted in going to Gerar. And in Gera, he knew there was no fear of God. It wasn't a God-fearing place, nor a place where the law of God was honored. There are places that no Christian should ever walk in. There are locations where no Christian should ever reside in. There are companies that no Christian should keep. And there are associations that no Christians should have anything to do with. God does not deliver a Christian who persistently and stubbornly goes down to the place that he has forbidden them to go. Abraham deliberately encouraged the vile temptation that came upon him and overcame him. It had overcome him in the past. He had a solemn warning from God. He had a glorious deliverance from catastrophe before. But now he walks down the same path, takes the same turning, and goes on in the same deliberation of what he is contemplating to do. If you open your Bible at the Epistle of James, you will read there these solemn words of warning. In the first chapter of James, and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. James 1 and 13. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The reason for his sin was a repetition of him walking in the way of temptation. Let's come for the reason of the tragedy that came. The reason for the tragedy was that Sarah and her husband were impatient. God had already spoken to them and said, within 12 months, your long waited for child will be born. They were within 12 months of having the fulfillment. But they couldn't wait. They became impatient. The seed that was going to provide eventually the humanity of our blessed Lord has always been the target of devilish and deeply devilish opposition. The first seed, godly seed, was Abel. The devil saw to it that Cain killed his brother Abel to destroy the holy seed. The corruption of all the people of all the earth, of all the families of the earth, was brought about in the pre-flood day. On the antediluvian earth, the ploy of hell to make it impossible that the Son of God, when he was born, would have a holy body for all flesh had corrupted itself before God. The decree to kill all the children of Israel in Egypt was a further devilish strategy to keep holy man and woman on the earth so that the incarnation of Christ could be accomplished. The attempt to commit a complete genocide of the entire Jewish nation under the wicked dictator Haman in the days of Esther was another such attack. And then when Christ was born, the wicked Herod decided he would destroy him. So he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to kill every child, so that Christ would be destroyed. Getting Sarah into the harem of Abimelech was another of the devil's master plans. To see Abraham, the friend of God, cooperating in such a deceit shows how the wiles of the devil can conquer the greatest Christian on God's earth. Thank God no ploy in hell can ever stop the plan of heaven, but sinners without God's grace are but putty in the hands of Satan. The power of Satan was the driving power of this scheme which Abraham gave his consent and encouragement to. Of course, there were other reasons. His wife, Sarah, was a beautiful woman. If you turn to chapter 12 of Genesis, we read she was very fair to look upon. And that was said of her when she was 60 years old. In this chapter, she was in her late 80s. And yet she showed herself to be a very attractive and beautiful woman. Of course, in Sarah's day, the woman lived almost twice the years of those of our day. So at this time, she was as a woman of some 40 years of age, by our timing and standards. Further, in chapter 17 and 18, Abraham and Sarah were told that they were going to have the long looked for seed, and God rejuvenated their bodies, as we are told in the scripture, to make that possible. And God said to Abraham what he didn't believe. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. Abimelech took her into his harem, as Pharaoh of Egypt had done before with her. What a tragedy. Then we look for a moment at the results of that treachery. The whole of that tragedy, as I have shown you, was nothing less than a point-by-point movement of Satan to destroy the possibility of Isaac being born. And in his sin, the friend of God became the enemy of God. How far does sin push man over the edge? Sarah also was his willing accomplice. She was prepared to risk herself
her purity, and the holy seed that was promised, and joy in this Eastern harem. What is more, she had done it before in the court of Pharaoh. Imagine it, the appointed mother of the chosen seed, flirting with an Eastern king, Abimelech, in his harem. Notice when she was questioned by the king, she denied that she had ever been married. To what depths those who joined together in disobedience fall. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, who lied against the Holy Spirit of God. Thirdly, Abraham slandered to God. There's a verse in this chapter that is amazing. When Abraham turns on God and he accuses God as the one who caused him to wander from his father's house, God never made Abraham a wanderer. He made him a glorious pilgrim, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And yet Abraham dared to look God in the eye and Abimelech in the eye and said, God caused me to be a mere wanderer. And as I wandered, I asked my wife to show me kindness and to tell a lie everywhere we came that she was not my wife. Imagine the friend of God calling sin a kindness, the denial of a marriage bond something that could be rejected. As if God could not protect his own and keep them as the apple of his eye. What was the direct result of this? Sarah was separated from Abraham so that the promise of the previous chapter could not be fulfilled. Sarah is separated from Abraham in the harem of Abimelech, could not become the mother of Isaac in those circumstances. So much for the dark pages of this scene. Let me finally come to the rulership of triumph. Her words spoken here by King Abimelech, the Philistine and heathen, but they are significant and they are startling. Read them carefully. And then read what God said to them. God said to them, I also withheld thee from sinning against me. I withheld thee. Here we have the overruling triumph of God's rulership. God overthrows all the devices of Satan. He overturns all the sinful plans and purposes of wicked men. And he also overrules all things so that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. At the very moment that Satan thinks he has conquered God, God conquers Satan. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth, and none can dethrone the God of truth. Today, we live in a society of evil. Today, taking someone else's wife or husband is not looked upon as evil. It has been eliminated from the criminal code of our land. The laws of Sodom prevail now in our country. The heathen Philistine Abimelech acknowledged it
as a great sin. But our nation no longer acknowledges it as even a sin at all. God looked on it as a sin meriting capital punishment. Today, modern society condones what God's Word condemns. Adultery is approved. Wife and husband swapping is acceptable. Those that rebuke it are slandered as unloving. But sin has to be condemned. Sin has to be forsaken. And if it's not forsaken, sin will be punished with the wrath of God. But thank God the sinner can cry to God, as David cried, "Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me. Oh, bring me out of my distresses." There is pardon, and there is mercy with the God of heaven. Charles Wesley wrote the words, "Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature's prayer. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have not to pay. Speak, oh, speak my kind release. My backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Though my sins as mountains rise and swell and reach up to the skies, mercy is above the skies, and I can, by God's grace, stand forgiven. Mighty is my guilt's increase. Greater is thy mercy's store. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. From the oppressive weight of sin, my struggling spirit free. Blood and righteousness divine can rescue even me. Holy Spirit, shed thy grace. Let me feel the softening shower. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Yes, there is mercy with the Lord." And what happened? The man who had laid hold upon Sarah took him into his harem. God caused Abraham to pray for him. I was thinking of that last night. And I said, that's a strange thing. That you told this man that except the man who had brought about this whole arrangement prayed for him, he couldn't be healed. And then I realized what God was saying. That until Abraham was prepared to pray for Abimelech, he wouldn't have the right spirit. And so if he was going to pray, he had to be heartbroken himself. He had to have repentance toward God and confession of his own iniquity. And when Abraham, a broken man, a confessing man, a cleansed man, a restored man prayed, then his enemy was healed and the nation was saved. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. How great is the loving kindness and tender mercy of our God. Amen.